For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Modlin. Growing up is never easy. It's even harder when you're one of the many children in Kentucky's foster care system, close to becoming an adult, yet searching for a place to belong. In this documentary called Aging Out, Lisa Autry reports on the need for more foster and adoptive homes for older children and what happens to them if they don't get adopted and age out of state custody.
10 years ago, Jack and Kathy Gardner came out of retirement.
We were just sitting by ourselves all the time, fighting with each other.
The Gardners answered a special calling. These empty nesters decided to give foster care a try.
The first one we ever had, we got him when he was 11, and he didn't get to go home till he was 15. We got pretty attached to him.
Their quiet, laid-back lifestyle is anything but that now. At times, the couple feels as if they run a taxi service in mess hall. They have 4 boys living in their Warren County home. The Gardners estimate 250 foster children have come through their home over the past 10 years. They used to keep track of the number, but have since lost count. Some of the kids have stayed days, others for years.
The rewards are just usually seeing them go back to their family, or seeing them finish school. As far as challenges, my biggest challenge is trying to get them all fed.
Imagine for a moment growing up with no one to watch you play sports, get your driver's license, go on to college, and no place to go for the holidays. It's a sad reality for thousands of children across the nation and here in Kentucky, where now 1,800 children between the ages of 12 and 18 need forever homes. They're in the state foster care system and eligible for adoption. Denise Lambrianu is with the Family Enrichment Center in Warren County. She says people falsely assume teens have done something wrong to be in foster care.
You know, somebody has failed them somewhere, you know, by not providing their needs and not keeping them within the boundaries that a parent should.
21-year-old Tyler is a former foster child who entered state custody at no fault of his own.
My mother, she was having like a difficult time, you know, adjusting to, you know, being a single parent, and my mother didn't know how to, you know, cope with, you know, raising her kids in poverty.
19-year-old Rachel was also in a situation she couldn't help.
I came into foster care at 14. Actually, it was me and my 3 younger siblings due to educational and health neglect.
We should note that due to confidentiality rules, the names of current and former foster teens in this report have been changed. 17-year-old Brian is one of the foster teens living with the Gardners. He's been with them 3 years.
If I was still out on my own, I'd either be in jail or somewhere worse right now.
It's not uncommon for teens in foster care to be bitter toward their parents and the system. Often that resentment leads them to act out. Some more complex behaviors may require counseling or other professional help. For the most part, however, all teens require is good old-fashioned parenting. It's the boundaries and structure that most always are missing from their biological homes. Jack and Kathy Gardner speak from experience.
This may be the first time they've been away from home. Some of them have a pretty hard time adjusting for a while, you know, throwing little tantrums and some of them big tantrums. And then we've learned to deal with it, you know, and try to help them to deal with it.
In one case, we had one that would eat so much that he would end up going out on the front porch and throwing up. When we finally convinced him that, you know, as long, you know, while he was with us, he would always have plenty to eat. You'll always have food. When we finally convinced him of that, he slowed down and he did really well.
I wouldn't say all the experiences we've had was good ones, because they hadn't been. But I'd say on the whole, you get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Child advocates often find themselves debunking myths about teens in foster care.
I think that it's easy once you become a full-fledged adult to forget what it was like to be a teenager. Being a teenager is not the easiest job in the world. You're not a child anymore, but you're not an adult, and you're caught in this flux of trying to figure out who it is that you are. You're going to make multiple mistakes. Not all. But an average teenager does make poor grades on occasion, does break a curfew.
Slim Nash is with Bellwood Homes for Children, which contracts with the state to find homes and provide other services to foster kids. He says it's because of this unfair stereotype that many teens in foster care will never find forever families. The older they get, the less likely it is for foster children to get adopted.
This is a bed that a friend donated to me. That dresser was donated by a friend. Everything else.
19-year-old Hannah lives alone in a messy one-bedroom apartment near downtown Louisville. Her bed is a mattress on the floor, and it's no coincidence the walls in this apartment are bare.
There's not a lot of good memories.
Sitting at her kitchen table, Hannah tells me her whole life she dreamed of getting adopted. By 17, she'd given up on that dream.
That was it for my hope of a family. It was just shot at that point.
Being in state custody can be a ticket to a lifetime of struggle and failure without support services.
It's a huge issue. I think it's one of those issues where you pay me now or pay me later, that kids that leave the care at age 18 and without services end up homeless, or they end up in prison, or they end up addicted to drugs and alcohol and live life on the streets.
Jerry Cantrell is president and CEO of Bellwood Homes for Children, which has offices throughout Kentucky. When state foster homes are full, this private entity contracts with the state to provide homes to children who are mostly teens. One of the services Bellwood provides is an independent living program. Once teens turn 18 and become legal adults, they can choose to recommit to the state until they turn 21. Provided they enter college or a trade school, the state will pay for their education, assist them with housing, pick up their health care costs, and teach the skills needed to live on their own. Slim Nash is the program manager for independent living at Bellwood.
We go with them on job interviews. We have a young man who's getting ready to graduate from our independent living program, and so we're going with him so that he can establish the utilities at his apartment in his own name. Things that in an average young person's life, their parents assist them in doing. And so we try to fill that gap.
Nash tells the story of a teen he helped land a job.
And we went through 6 drafts of a job application. It's not that he didn't know what to say. He knew exactly what to say. He didn't know how to say it. There was a portion of the job application that talked about skills you don't do well at, or that you need improvement in. On the young man's first application that he filled out and turned in to me, it said, "You don't want me anywhere near the cash register." Well, what he was really trying to say is, "I'm not good with money." But when he put, "You don't want me anywhere near the cash register," he made himself sound like he was going to rob him blind the first opportunity he had to get his hand in the cash register. And so the kind of skills that we need to develop with them are not giving them what it is that needs to be said, but giving them a voice and how to say it so that it translates into the working world.
It's a weekday night at an apartment complex in Warren County. Missy Johnson is preparing dinner and has a lot of help in the kitchen. Johnson is a youth care counselor for Bellwood.
Put a little bit of water in it so it's not so thick, and maybe it won't stick to the bottom of the
Johnson is teaching the young adults how to cook. Tacos are on the menu tonight.
Okay, are you ready to get your hamburger meat out and put it in the bowl to kind of let it drain just a little bit?
These kids, they start out independent anyway to some extent, because most of them has had to live on their own quite some time. Even though they were at home, they still had to fend for themselves. Mm-hmm. So they just need a little help and a little guidance.
The young adults are enrolled in Bellwood's independent living program. They live in an apartment complex owned by Bellwood, and once a week they all meet in someone's apartment to cook and eat dinner together.
Well, one of my classes, I have to do things around the university. It's mm-hmm. the university experience class. I have 7 more classes to attend, and I've done 0 of them, and I have to do 3 by the end of the semester.
It just gets us together, and it teaches them kind of how to fix a meal and what goes into the process. Get us a big spoon if you've got one, or a couple.
Many foster teens will turn 18 and decide to strike out on their own, but the odds are stacked against them. Case in point is 19-year-old Hannah, who we heard from earlier. A month after her 18th birthday, Hannah felt an overwhelming need to control her life.
I hadn't lived in a normal home, or, you know, I hadn't just hadn't lived, and I was ready to do that. Independent living was still several months away for me, whereas freedom was walking out of the door for good.
Jobless and on drugs and alcohol, Hannah bounced back and forth between friends' places in Louisville. She recounts that volatile time through writing poetry.
A dirty man's fingers all over my skin. I think that's a good place to begin. I understand you don't really want to know, but trust me, it's better I tell you than show. His hands are getting warmer, now he's got...
It was when she was raped last year that Hannah had second thoughts about making it on her own. She tried to recommit to the state, but the bureaucratic process turned her away. In Kentucky, foster children must decide to recommit within 6 months after turning 18. After that, they have passed foster care's point of no return. Advocates say young adults need at least a year to make that decision. In the case of Hannah, she got a lot of resistance when she tried to recommit about 2 weeks shy of reaching the six-month cutoff period. In the Kentucky General Assembly this year, former foster children turned advocates are pushing for improved laws. One bill requires social workers to take teens before a judge at least 3 months before their 18th birthday and have the court inform them of their options. Advocates also want the recommitment window extended from 6 months to a year. Whether a teen is close to becoming a legal adult or has already aged out of the foster care system, another valuable support service is mentoring. In Warren and Davis counties, Kelly McIntyre enrolls volunteers in a mentoring program called Project Hope.
Our program does serve teens between the ages of 13 to 20, but we primarily target those that are a little bit older, 16 to 17, that are looking to graduate from high school and then figure out what's next for them.
McIntyre says Project Hope is about helping teens and young adults navigate through everyday life.
We think about that on the holidays, the big events. You think about people who may not have their families, may not be able to spend time with their families. But a lot of teens in care will say it's not the holidays. We expect that around the holidays. It's the Sunday dinners. Somebody just picking up the phone randomly and calling and saying, "Hey, John, hey, Sue, how's your week been?"
Once a week, Tyler Peach meets up with 17-year-old Brian, who in a few days will turn 18, recommit to the state, and enter an independent living program. On a Thursday afternoon at Peach's home in Warren County, he and Brian sit on the couch and watch a video on a laptop.
Yeah, you click one of these buttons, you know, it's going to do it.
The video is about what to look for when shopping for a car.
This is something he'll be doing here pretty soon, is getting his first pre-owned vehicle. So this was definitely a good little tool for us.
Got ripped off buying a car, but didn't. Whoa, this car is cool. It was pretty expensive, but it was within my budget. So I scheduled an appointment with an auto mechanic to have a Thunderbird inspected.
Tyler and Brian are both enrolled in Project Hope.
A lot of the time we'll hang out or play ball, and we do all kinds of activities, go to the movies. And then other times we try to do something productive, you know, like he's coming up to where he needs to get his permit hours in.
Although Brian in a few days will be leaving the nest of his foster family, Tyler will continue to be his mentor. Brian feels lucky to have another positive influence in his life as he gets his driver's license, heads off to college, and begins living on his own.
Basically, it's just someone that I know is there for me and I could always go to, even if I can't go to my foster parents or something. It's just someone really cool to hang out with and someone that'll help me learn when I'm getting my own apartment and getting out on my own and, you know, help me stay on the straight and narrow instead of wanting to go party all the time and mess up and get in trouble or whatever. Someone that's going to keep me staying straight and get through college and get a good life for me.
Taken from their homes because their biological families have failed them, teens in foster care have already gotten a bad deal, so to speak. It's the people and programs that help young people understand that life is redemptive. I'm Lisa Autry for WKU Public Radio.